Happy Sabbath, everybody.
Happy Sabbath.
Beautiful weather at our house this morning. We had snow up in, right above us. Nice cool air. I had to cover up my tomatoes, though. I didn't want to lose them in the frost. So we were ready. Well, this past week, I learned a very important spiritual lesson that I want to share with you. And that is the topic of this sermonette. I was at the gas station filling up some gas tanks for my small engines at home, mixing up some two-cycle gas. And I fueled up. A young man came up behind me and said, "Sir, I'm stuck here. I need to go home. I live in Los Angeles, but I don't have enough money for gas. Can you help me?" I spent all my cash on filling up my gas tanks. And so I told him, I said, "I don't have any change. I can't help you. I'm sorry." And I was sort of in a rush, and I didn't think all that much about it. And of course, when I was driving home, I started feeling really guilty. I feel like I missed an opportunity to help somebody, and I did. So I want to talk about giving, because this was an interesting week for me. There's another side to this experience, this lesson that I learned about giving. So first thing I want to share with you, the first fact about giving I think we should think about. Giving is a part of the nature and character of God. We know that God gave us everything. Christ died to pay the price for our sins. We were redeemed by that sacrifice. Christ created everything, this planet we live on, this beautiful blue, brown, and green sphere that we live on. He created those things with his hands. You know, in Isaiah 45:12, it says, "With my hands, I created these things." He gave us the ability to sustain our lives, the water. You know, we just received some rain and some snow in the mountains. We need that. It was a great blessing. It was a gift from God. God in Christ created this earth and the hydrologic cycle that gave us this nourishment. The mountains needed this nourishment. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. The giving of God in Christ never stops. They are the ultimate givers. Now, in secular society, they would say that, well, you know, this universe that we live in, the earth that we're on, this is just a lucky chance in the cosmos. And all the life that's on it is, you know, the process of evolution. You know, we don't give God credit for those things. And, of course, we know that that's not appropriate. The generosity of God is something that we should be building in our character. Within us, we're trying to become more and more like Christ. We want to develop the Holy Spirit within us. And we know that God gives us that. And so we are developing godly character. And one thing that we can do to develop godly character is immerse ourselves with a giving attitude. Let's take a look at 1 John 3:17. This is one way we can be like God in Christ. 1 John 3 Verse 17, "But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" So if somebody comes to us for help and they are truly in need and we turn away from them, that is not developing the love of God. We are not doing what we should do. Now, I know I missed an opportunity, and you know it would have been better for me to make a small sacrifice to help this young man make it home to Los Angeles. You know, when he first mentioned that, I kind of was judgmental. I said, "Why would you embark on this long journey from Los Angeles and not have enough gas money to make it back home?" That was the first thought in my head, and that wasn't right. What I should have said is, here's the money. Let me help you out. I would have had to use my ATM card because I didn't have any cash, but it would have been fairly easy. Here's another fact about giving. God expects his children to be concerned about those truly in need. God expects his children to be concerned about those truly in need. Let's take a look at Ephesians 4, verse 28. This is another good scripture pertaining to giving. Ephesians 4, verse 28. "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." So this is a beautiful scripture about somebody living a life of thievery and changing their lifestyle and becoming somebody who works hard, and you know they get paid for that. They produce from that hard work, and then they turn around and they can give. So you know God has a way of teaching us lessons and turning us completely around in the other direction. This brings to mind an example of a little story that I saw on the internet this week while I was preparing the sermon, and I thought, wow, this is perfect. We can learn a lot from children because children oftentimes give very freely. There's a 9-year-old boy. His name is Hector Montoya. He's from Texas. And he heard on the news about a woman and a small child that died in a house fire. And it struck him. He said, well, this shouldn't happen. Why did this happen? Well, he was saving up his money to buy a gaming station, a PlayStation 4. And he decided that there was more important things to do with his money. He spent his money and bought over 100 smoke detectors for his neighborhood. He did not want life to be lost. And he was rewarded for his giving. He got his PlayStation 4 and another $150 to buy more more smoke detectors. And we know that when we give, that can be increased by the blessings of God. And that's another lesson of giving, is when we give, it's increased. It becomes exponential. It's the whole idea of when you give and somebody sees that example, they say, hey, I want to do something kind too. And that happens a lot. So that brings us to reason number 3. Be prepared to give and be on the lookout for opportunities to give. And this was my problem. I was not ready to give. When that young man came to me and asked for gas money, I didn't have any cash on me. I was sort of in a hurry, and I was not prepared. If I had maybe a little envelope with $10 or $20 in my glove compartment, I could have said, hey, no problem. I got what you need. I have a little bit of extra cash here. Let me give it to you, and go ahead and pump your gas, and you can go home. I would have been able to rescue him. I would have been able to help him. And so I think it's very important that we are prepared. And how much easier would it be to give if we have that ready and on hand? And it's a piece of cake. I literally 10 steps from the gas pump, open my glove compartment, hand it over. I did miss an opportunity, and I'm sort of sad about that, but it did teach me a lesson. Here's where my lesson ended on Sunday. This is before the holy day. We have sort of an idea with our family that I try to spend a special day with one of my kids, and just them alone. I took my son to see Captain America, and we had a blast. It was a great movie. And then I took my daughter out to lunch, and we went shoe shopping and, spent some time. We had a great conversation at lunchtime. Well, Sunday, I took my littlest one, Evan, snake hunting out in the desert. And we do that a lot. It's part of our family culture. And we really had a good time. And I knew of a place that's off the main road. It's sort of a secret place for herpetology. I said, we're going to find snakes here. It's a great place. And so I found a place that looked like it was nice and hard-packed to pull off of the dirt road that I was on. It was a nice, utility road. And it looked like a good, solid spot to pull off. And I pulled off, and then we went out, and we had a blast. We were running, chasing red racer snakes and finding really big caterpillars. Probably the highlight of the trip for my son was the big caterpillars we were finding. And he was laughing at his daddy chasing big, long, 7-foot racer snakes. So we had a great time, and we went back to the car. And as soon as I put the car in reverse, down we went into the sand. It looked like it was hard packed. It was not. I have a front-wheel drive car. Wasn't prepared to go four-wheeling. And I did my best what I had to try to get us out. We did some digging. We were getting dirty together, and he was helping me out. He says, well, the good news, Daddy, is we can always go snake hunting some more. I said, yeah, that's true, but we're going to have to get home at some point because Sabbath is coming. And that was really my concern. The Sabbath was approaching, and I didn't really want to call my wife and say, I need you to come out here with some shovels and get me out. And we were about a third of a mile off the main road, so it was sort of a difficult situation. Well, after a while, I just said, I'm going to give it one more try and put it in reverse, try to get out. So I said a short prayer, said, God, help us get out of this, help us find a way to get out of this. I know this is not life-threatening, but we need to get home. We do have sleeping bags and emergency water, but we need to be home. And so, sure enough, we got out of the car, and I was making phone calls. My road service for my insurance company wouldn't cover it. We were too far off the main road. Local tow truck company wanted $500. So I was like, well, what am I going to do? So I started calling some of my herpetology friends and saying, hey, I'm stuck in the desert. I need your help. And then as soon as I was on the phone, a little dune buggy comes driving by. And there was a man and two people in the dune buggy, and they helped me try to push it out. And even with their help, we couldn't get it out. So the man goes, well, you know what? Let me finish this tour, because he's a professional tour giver. Takes on dune buggy tours underneath the windmills out in the desert. And I'll come back with my four-wheel drive and pull you out. And he says, you know what, it's going to cost me some gas money, so I'll just charge you for a tour. And I said, you know what, $500 versus a dune buggy tour. I'll take the dune buggy tour. So anyway, he came back and pulled us out, and it was just about Sabbath when we were out. In fact, when we were on the main road again, it was sundown, and I kind of felt relieved. And he knew that I was stuck. And he could have charged me $200 to pull me out, and it would have been a bargain for me. But he did not take advantage of the situation. He rescued my son and I. And that's when my lesson of giving finished. I went, oh boy. I started thinking about that young man that asked me for money. Here I was saved. Somebody helped me, and I was not there for that man. And that's when I said, I'm going to put some money in my car so it's easier for me to give, and I have no reason to say no. Now, on the other hand, we need to be careful. We need to be cautious and not put ourselves at risk. We know that there's professional panhandlers out there, and we certainly don't want to be finding ourselves in a situation where we're at risk or giving more than we have. God doesn't want us to do that. But, brethren, we do need to develop that godly character of giving. It is a part of the fruits of the Spirit, a part of kindness and love. So, brethren, in conclusion, we have three facts about giving that I want you to remember. Giving is a part of the nature and character of God. And we should be giving because we want to be growing the character and nature of God within us. God expects us to be concerned about those truly in need, so we should not turn away from them. And be prepared to give and be on the lookout for opportunities to give. And they may be small opportunities. It doesn't have to be money. It could be helping somebody carry a heavy load from the store to their back of their car, opening a door for somebody and smiling, giving somebody a phone call, kind words. All of these things are a part of giving. So I'm going to leave you with one scripture, Acts 20, verse 35. Acts 20, verse 35. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.